right. Hello. Yes. Welcome to Relevant Tones. We are doing our notable albums of 2023. And I think we were all just talking before this episode about how we collectively can't believe that this year is coming to an end. And there's been just a plethora of fantastic music that has come out this year. You just heard an excerpt from Attawatt's album, Attawatt, called Shrink. Just a little something about this album in general that I thought was really interesting was this is from the composer themselves. Each track is an excerpt from a longer one take stereo recording of a fully generative self-playing instrument. And so the composer kind of breaks up the different tracks into movements, quote unquote. So I guess this would be fall under one of the later movements in it, but this is off of their debut album Scripts, and I thought it was quite lovely and full of bleeps and bloops, so nobody's surprised by
No, somehow I'm not surprised.
that.
And
Also,
I
go ahead, Seth.
just want to mention that we're all here, all four
Yeah.
of us, which is very, very exciting. We don't get to do that super often. And I want to mention that you're listening to Relevant Tones, and it's great to see you guys.
Yeah, it's great to see all of you too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, good to be here.
Cool.
Great.
Austin, how did you how did you find that album?
I've been following this musician for a long time. They actually do a lot of like program development and coding for electronic instruments. And so I follow them on socials, and they always have some interesting projects going on. And then they, out of nowhere, just kind of dropped this album, and I thought it was really fascinating. I really like the, and it totally makes sense. I mean, I listened to it all the way through, and then it made a lot of sense after like reading the description that it all came from like the same kind of session. Not that like each piece or like movement of the entire album sounds the same, but there's definitely like continuity throughout all of it, as you know, kind of strange and out there as it might be. I also just really enjoy their work in general. Like melody always seems to find a way into their work, and so there's always this like lyricism and like noise combination going on, with these lovely like outer world textures. Yeah, so definitely something I wanted to bring up right away. I got some others down the line that we can bring up, but yeah, no, check them out for sure.
Cool.
Yeah.
What about you, Matt? What were you listening to this year?
Yeah, so the album that I kind of first thought of with notable albums is Calibrating Friction by Haralambos Stavalakis. Sorry, I'm trying to pronounce it, and I hope I didn't do too poorly. Harry is also in brackets on the front of the album cover, so we'll call him Harry from here on out. But it's a really, really cool album. It's from New Amsterdam Records, which is kind of how I found it. And then also, I've just been kind of listening to more poppy, and not that this is poppy, but like poppy and metal and rock recently. It's kind of where I've been living, and this is a really, really cool album that combines kind of heavy metal aspects and string writing that Harry had done previously. And so it blends in post-production, it blends, and they add some guitar solos and they add drum kit and blending kind of those genre lines. And it's really, really like kind of large in scope. It feels like, 'cause it feels really like electric and big and fun. And yeah, it's definitely up there for me this year, and I think deserves to be here, just like notable records because of how unique I think it is, and how much fun I had listening to it.
That sounds like an awesome album. I
Yeah, it's
really,
great.
I like
Yeah, I
it.
know
Harry,
Harry,
actually.
oh, nice.
Harry
I
Harry's a friend
figured
of
you
mine.
would.
I just didn't get it from the way you pronounced his last name. But I'm like, yeah, oh yeah,
I
Harry Stephylakis. Yeah. Yeah, he's a wonderful composer. That's cool. I don't know that album, so excited to listen to it with all of us.
Thank you.
I really enjoy the trend recently of kind of like you said, more contemporary. I guess like I hate throwing like all popular music under like the same umbrella, but I guess we do that on this podcast. But like I like those trends kind of eking their way into, contemporary composition and like new music because there's so much to explore there. And we do truly live in a time where I don't think anything is, it's not forbidden to touch anything. So,
Well, I brought in a Taylor Swift album, so I'm
Oh, yeah, nice.
really pleased to share that with you all.
That's
Like,
nice.
nobody knows her at all. It's my discovery.
Oh, there you
She's dating this football player. Anyway.
go.
I love all of these genre bending albums that have come out. I really dig them. It's just so much cool stuff out there, and so many, like, all of these different mediums that people are feeling they can really play with and extend and mix and match and add, their own personal, flavor to. It's really awesome.
100%. Yeah.
I think that there's so many obviously bad things about Spotify. I mean, like, really bad, but there are some good things, and one is the algorithm, at least for me, never seems to care much about genre. It recommends things, and based on what I've been listening to, based on what other people listen to who listen to those things. And so sometimes I do find things I wouldn't have found otherwise, which I do like a lot because, you can't, it's not as easy to go to a record store as it used to be. And I used to get like all my recommendations from like the guy at the record store, And so anyway, I think that that's, I do like, that the genre isn't so important like it was in the record store in the sea that is Spotify, YouTube, TikTok, what have you, because it doesn't really make any sense anymore. And contemporary classical is such a meaningless phrase that we, throw around. I actually don't even use it that much anymore, except to describe the podcast. And then I find myself going, well, I don't even know what it is. So
New music in the Western classical tradition. Current music. It's so hard to try and like pin something down because it's really just people who call themselves composers.
Right, and that
Man.
used to
And
really mean no.
that's really it. Like it's just if you call yourself a composer
Yeah.
and a songwriter, like you pretty much fall under any genre at that point. And
But
I think that's fun. I think it's great.
there's some pretty heavyweight composers who aren't necessarily notating anymore. I mean, they're using Logic and all these different programs. So that is an intriguing aspect of it as well, that it's moving less and less, or it's moving more and more away from, actually being a notated art form, or having the human being do the notating, which I think is kind of interesting too. And it definitely changes. I mean, when I notate music as opposed to improvising or working collaboratively, obviously they're very different results.
Yeah, 100%.
All right, Stephen, what have you got for us?
Yeah, I have two albums actually that really piqued my interest this year. They are very different, kind of from, I think, what I'm normally listening to, which was really interesting for me. And I think almost a little aspirational for me. It's like more the kind of music I want to be listening to in 2024. So I'm trying to kick off the year with some new kinds of things. The first one I want to talk about is from a Scottish composer named Stuart McRae, and he wrote this album called "Earth, Thy Cold Is Keen," which was put out from Delphian Records. And this is a work for the mezzo-soprano Lotta Betz Dean and the Sequoia Duo, which is just a string duo. And it is a lot of, it's very vocal heavy as an album, a lot of unaccompanied vocal parts that where the voice sounds very ethereal, and a lot drawn from Scottish folk music, but also from medieval music, and blending it with modernist techniques and even computer alterations and some digital processing of the voice in parts. And the source material for the text is just so varied. It draws from Bronte, from Pritchard, from the Poetic Edda, from the Gaelic and Middle English. Like, it's just, so there's so much of it when listening to it, I'm like, I have no idea you know, what's being sung, but it didn't really seem to like impede my appreciation for it. Yeah. And there's this spaciousness to, on the whole album, where something I really enjoyed listening to it over and over is that I didn't feel like I had to be a captive listener the whole time. I felt like it kind of was there to allow my thoughts to kind of contemplate, you know, the music in a way, or just to kind of roam. And I really liked that about the album. So
yeah, maybe it's like the incorporation of like folk music, I think, is always opening up the door to like accessibility and the ability to reach like a wider audience, but also like a wider listening experience as well.
Yeah. I'll say the singer on the album is phenomenal. She's very virtuosic, and her tone is just, it's incredible.
Oh, my God. as it were.
That's where I always feel bad with these last end of the year shows too, because I never pick any album that I already featured on the show earlier in the year. And there was an album by a really great violist in Ireland where they took the Berio folk songs and then commissioned composers to write pieces kind of responding to that using Irish folk tales. And that was obviously a really awesome album. So check that out. I don't know, a few months ago on Relevant Tones. But yeah, I folk music is an unceasing well you can always come back to, which is really nice. Unfortunately, I'm from Missouri and our folk music is ragtime, which nobody likes, but.
as long as Volcom will keep writing them.
It's that and like music from Deliverance, you know, and people are like, yeah, Seth, don't tap that well, man.
I like a lot of what's come out of the African American spiritual with arrangements. There have been some great composers who've been arranging that lately. Not just lately, of course, but so you know, there even I mean it'd be albums from last year. But Sean O'Peblo is someone who comes to mind who's really been, working with that American folk material, which is cool. I'll mention the other album quickly. This one, okay, contradicts what I said at the beginning of this, which was finding new things to listen to. I followed Sadiq Records quite a bit, and I liked John Zorn's label, and I'm almost always in love with, you know, the albums that are on there. And one that I found that was new to me, new performers, this was an album called Capacious Aeration. And this is a duo, Anna Weber and Matt Mitchell, which is, so Anna Weber plays flute, saxophone, and Matt Mitchell's a pianist. And these, their ability as improvisers, and not the whole album isn't improvised, there are some, you know, way out there compositions, but their ability as improvisers is just absolutely blows my mind. It feels like they're reading each other's minds and, you know, at light speed, you know, they're just conjoined or something like that. And as a duo, what I found really interesting about the album listening to it is all the different ways that they create a dialogue. It never felt boring. It always felt either silly, tongue in cheek, or really, intense, or it just wide variety of ways that they were able to communicate with each other. On the album, some really cool tracks.
The trend right now of like I've heard it called like non-idiosyncratic improvisation, where it's like doesn't abide by a single genre or whatever, and it's two people just kind of throwing it down. It's so cool. And I'm really glad, like, it's been around for a long time. Like, this isn't anything new, but it seems to be a hot thing right now. And I think that's really awesome because there's so many incredible improvisers out there that are finally like being seen, I feel like, or people who may have been laying down like what would be otherwise like traditional composition or whatever, and now that I don't know, something gave individuals permission to like do more of this, and the results I think have been really, really awesome.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of the album does kind of fall into the avant jazz kind of free jazz. Yeah. I get Cecil Taylor vibes, but it is definitely not limited in any way to that kind of that kind of writing.
I'm really happy about this as a composer that there's more and more people improvising because you know, I just did a piece. ACM has a show called Concept Lab in Manhattan on Sunday. I wrote a piece in this instance, it was for myself to play with an electric guitarist, but I hope the piece will be played by others. And I was joking because to incorporate improvisation is really easy. You know, you put a forward repeat, you put a back repeat, and you write open for solos, you know, and like that's it. And then the rest is up to the performers. But a lot of us composers couldn't really do that for a while because the performers would get that look they get when you ask them to improvise, which is like deer in headlights, you know. And it's really cool to see. I agree with Austin and everybody that, you know, it's I'm very excited to see that develop and to see where it goes.
I think we're moving away. Maybe this was again, whoever makes these decisions or how movements begin is like a big thing, but like I'm noticing a trend of moving away from like modernism, you know, moving away from like the ink is God kind of thing. And I think that's a good thing. It's like, you know.
Yeah,
not only the ink,
it's
but,
fun
oh,
to
sorry.
See. Like, yeah, no, I just like as a performer, it's a little scary to have improv more on the menu. It's fun though. Like, I, you know, you get better at it. And it is really, really freeing and kind of like to Austin's point, like the ink on the page is becoming a little less important and people do, I don't know. I'm definitely getting a little more license from composers than I used to, and I'm taking it and running with it more, which I wouldn't have done as much in the past. And it's fun, it's good. It leads to some things that wouldn't have come up otherwise, I think, which is kind of the whole point, isn't it?
And I mean, just want to say this as well, because it's been on my mind a lot this year, but I'm profoundly skeptical of the model that most of us came up with in classical music school, which is, you know, the composer is this great genius and your job is to subservient yourself, put yourself below that and like only interpret the notes perfectly. And I think it's really hurt classical music. It's really set us back because, you know, first of all, every big composer is trying to be a genius, which is just stupid, you know, and to live up to these ideals, the bust and the name carved into the stone of the symphony, say, you know, center. And that's terrible. I mean, it's ridiculous. And then secondly, it just really downplays the you know, the other people that take part in this, the musicians, everybody else. So I'm really excited to see, I think it was Annika Sokolowski, but somebody on Facebook just posted this whole thing about, you know, there is no such thing as genius. And I was like, boom, I couldn't agree more. I think the auteur theory in film, the great man, great genius theory in classical music has really hurt us.
Yeah.
And I'll say it. I've known Austin too long to consider him a genius. Frankly, I'll say it. I can't.
And well, there goes. That's pretty crushing, Matt.
Also, on the subject of Annika Sokolowski, she released the other album I want to talk about.
Nice. Hell yeah!
Great. What an awesome
segue. We planned this. but the album Don't Say a Word. I think it's fantastic. It's really, really cool. It's very Annika. Just, and like kind of what I was talking about, you know, mixing in pop elements. You know, it's just where I'm at right now as a listener and enjoying things. And the whole album's incredible. It's a great insight into her as a composer and as a person, I think, as well. So if you want, you should go listen to it.
Matt, do you remember, or do you have in front of you when she released that album this past year?
June 23rd.
That's right. Yeah, I did. I saw, it wasn't like she featured some of her works on it. Were some of them with the Sax Quartet?
So she released two albums this year, and the one you're talking about is the one that released like 2 months ago.
Wow.
So she released I Tell You Me in September,
okay,
which I'm not mentioning because it's way more poppy, which is, she's still looking, like, I don't know. Again, how do you,
whatever.
What are labels? She's, anyway.
Yeah.
But two albums, 1 year. So
wow,
she's pretty cool.
Yeah. No kidding.
Buy them both. You know, you can.
That is genius level right there.
There it is. There's the punchline.
What did you find, Seth, for notable albums?
There was so much this year. So I was trying to push myself, in the last week as I was thinking about this show. I will say the first one, when it came out, I knew I was going to want to feature it. I was hoping you guys didn't. And that was the Spectral Quartet album with Alex Temple.
Thought about it.
I think that album is just really, really phenomenal. And I didn't know Julia Holter, the singer on that album, but wow. I mean, just the way that the quartet works, the story of Alex's transition, the haunting vocals, the electronics, I mean, everything, the playing, obviously, the quality is super, super high. But it just felt very relevant to me in 2023, because, I mean, I've been sort of alternately describing this year as like a year of anxiety. I feel like there's a lot of anxiety, you know, and just alienation, identity issues. And so this album really spoke to me because it just feels like that's what's in the air. And of course, you know, these albums take a long time. I mean, they were working on this. I think they premiered part of the piece at the Music Box like in 20, I don't even know, 19 or 20. It was a long time ago. Mm-hmm. So these things percolate. They take a long time. So that album was definitely super, super important. And let's hear something from it.
This tight dress is uncomfortable. This nail polish is chipped. This drunk patron is laughing.
Also, some things I didn't know about that I was really excited to find. There's this album by Lebanese American tenor Karim Suleiman and guitarist Sean Scheib. It's called Broken Branches, and I can't get enough of it. They have everything from like Monteverdi, who I love Monteverdi. He's one of my favorite composers. I just like, if I'm in a bad headspace, I'm like, I'm going to put on some Monteverdi because it's so clean. His sense of line and counterpoint and everything is just so wonderful. So yeah, Monteverdi too. The piece that I want to play is by Jonathan Harvey, who, if you don't know his music, he died a few years ago, but wonderful English composer. And somebody, I just came across another piece by somebody that was in memoriam to Jonathan Harvey. So I was already thinking of Jonathan Harvey when I saw the Broken Branches album. But there's also these Middle Eastern folk tunes, speaking of folk tunes, are on the album as well. And both performers are fantastic. It's on the Pentatone label. But I also just like this idea of unity. And I think, I mean, with all that's happening in the Middle East right now, it just also seemed like a good time to talk about all of the wonderful things that have come out of the Middle East, not focus on all the bad things. So that one is a really short piece called Sufi Dance, which the Sufis are a mystic sect of Islam. And the last thing I brought in, and in full disclosure, I should say this composer, Guy Barish, is part of a composer collective that I'm also part of called Random Access Music. But that's not why I chose it. There are many, many other composers in that collective. this album, though, is really interesting. It's called Killdeer, and I think it's on New Focus. It's a collaboration with poet Nick Flynn. And it's just like they do a whole lot of text and music. The music is really, really far out. Features a lot of, speaking of improvisation, guys like Frank London, who's a really well-known New York trumpet player. Kathy Sapovi, who is, I mean, just like, you know, experimental music darling here in New York City. She's a phenomenal pianist and composer and improviser. So it's got a lot of heavyweights on it, but it creates this really intense, I hate to use the word visceral, but I'm going to use it, tapestry. And it's actually pretty dark. For me, I don't go that dark that often. I'll leave that to you guys. But, you know, it's a dark album. It's like exploring some really dark themes. And yet I really love it. It really works for me.
I admit you haven't heard from me in a while. In me, there's a little liar. And a little thief. And a little whore. Forgive me for writing these words. I was lost in a trance. Sky wild blue. Fruit trees. jeweled with ice. If not for what I'd promised, I wouldn't be here at all. You were with me when I found that box in the basement. Opening it was like entering a room and having, at last, someone else breathe for me. No one, as you know, sets out to lose their mind. This poem began as a secret, not from you. I didn't know you then. Now, it wears its shame like a halo. Please, take it. Rip it up. Put it in your glass. We can watch it dissolve.
Was there anything else, Austin? Did you bring in anything that we didn't
talk about? Well, I brought this one album. I was just going to do, and I know you said, you mentioned in the beginning that you don't bring up albums that you talked about earlier this year, but, you know, I feel like I did a lot of artist features that were related to their albums, and I just really wanted to reiterate, like, Amanda DeBoer Bartlett came out with an album this year that was so cool, really bridging, you know, that cross-genre stuff, so go listen to it again. Ben Reutel Ward came out with his debut album. Excellent bassoon player, awesome stuff he's doing. Similar stuff with Dana Jessen, came out with an album this year too. I'm sure those are just a few that pop up to my brain, but you know, I just wanted to kind of like reiterate those guys because all of them were fantastic, and I really wanted to feature them, and they took the time to talk with me about their music, and it was a really lovely experience.
All right, guys.
Bye. Happy holidays. See you soon. See y'all. Bye.
Relevant Tones is a production of Access Contemporary Music, a nonprofit organization with the mission of providing equitable access to the transformative power of music making. For more information, check out acmusic.org. On behalf of Relevant Tones, I'm Seth Bosted, also thanking Matthew Dosland, Austin Williams, and Stephen Anthony Rossland. Thanks so much for listening, and happy holidays.